You are listening to Blue Mountain Radio, KQBM, LP 103.7 FM West Point, KQBM, 90.7 FM San Andreas.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll have what she's having.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, amid that a sudden sun discloses, for the people hear us singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. As we go marching, marching, we battle through for men.
Welcome to Every Woman's Hour on KQBM Blue Mountain Community Radio. We are now at 12 noon, and you heard our station ID. We're at community radio, which means we involve the entire community in these interviews of women making a difference in their communities in the Motherlode. And among them are the huge and growing and wonderful Young Women's Forum. Now, this forum you can find in everywomanshour.org, and it has not as many names as I want to fill it with, because we have the most splendidly active and community-minded young women in this community. And I'm concentrating on them a little more this summer while they are either home from school or their kids are home from school, and they might have one extra minute or an hour here or there that they can come on to Every Woman's Hour and tell us their story and encourage and inspire us and let us know all that they are doing to make a difference in the Motherlode. Today we have Jenny Upchurch, and I was first introduced to Jenny by Linda French at Possibilities because she was having a belly dancing event. And we will get to that, because when you think upcountry, you don't think a belly dancing event, but the women here do. Listen on and enjoy. Here we are on a beautiful early summer day, even though it's not yet summer by the calendar, but it is to the mothers of the Motherlode whose kids have either graduated from or who have had their last day of school. The dreaded and delightful last day of school, when they're thinking about what they're going to be doing with their kids for the summer. And I have with me today Jenny Upchurch, whose kids have had their last day of school. And we spent some time talking about the wonderful opportunities that we have here in the Motherlode. And then I thought, let's begin this interview, because for the Young People's Forum, I really want Jenny to talk about some of the creative ways that she is bringing to the young women especially, but also to many of the women of the Motherlode, her ideas of how to have a good time with their spirits, with the spirit of who they are as women. This seems to me to be the crux of her work, the source of her own inspirations, and I wanted her to talk about that today. So let's start with one of the projects that you have that I noticed today on Facebook, which was called a mini retreat. And I saw a wonderful picture of women sitting in a circle, all young women, and I thought, there they are, the young women of Amador County. And there they are in a sisterhood circle talking with each other about what? What is your mini retreat first? Let's introduce you that way by talking about what your focus is with that.
Well, that was sort of a new thing that just came up. It's something I've been thinking about for a long time. I found that when I was a young mother here in Amador County, I was really craving a deeper, more intentional connection with other women. And so I sought that out and met a woman named Melanie Miner, who no longer lives in California, but she was facilitating a sort of women's circle at the time. And so I began attending her circles and did on and off for years, and And it was really felt like it was something that I had never experienced before in my life that I was really needing.
Now, when were Melody Circles?
She did them once a month, and she was actually in Calaveras County. So I would go over to her home in the Paloma area and gather.
What years were those?
That was probably, my kids were young, so I would say maybe 2008 or so to 2000, maybe 2005 to 2010, in that time frame.
Okay, so now, were these largely younger women? Was that the focus, or was it for all women?
It was for all women, and I would say there was a pretty wide range. I was one of the youngest in my early 30s, and actually at the time might have been late 20s. And there were women all the way up into their, I would say, probably 60s and 70s that participated.
So you were working at that point and learning about how you would do that kind of circle with women of all ages,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because now you do work with women of all mm-hmm. ages. But I did notice that one circle that you had,
mm-hmm.
the one mini retreat, was mainly young women. Mm-hmm. So tell us how that developed.
Well, Melanie moved on and lives in Oregon now, and there was a kind of a time in my life where I didn't have that sort of connection. Of course, the everyday friendships and that sort of thing were always there, but really taking that time to develop yourself and grow with other women, kind of focused around a central theme. The themes were always different. Really taking that time to go a little deeper. I didn't have that and craved it. And so in that time, I got involved with a belly dance troupe, and there was some things that came of that.
Okay, wait a minute.
That sort of filled a little bit of a void for me.
A belly dance troupe mm-hmm. that was already here?
It was created, and I was just lucky enough to be involved with the creation of it. I knew the right person
Who was that? What
Tracy was that? Carlton.
Tracy Carlson. So this was in the 2000s.
Yeah, this was when I think I was 30 at the time. So my time with Melanie's Women's Circles had come to an end, and then I just sort of by chance got involved with Tracy, and she decided she wanted to be a belly dance teacher.
Right. Here in the motherland.
Yes, just because something she wanted to do, and so she started teaching classes. She was just self-taught. And our children were attending preschool at the same time together. And so I attended her classes just for fun. And then she said, I think I want to perform. You want to be part of my troupe? And I said, okay, why not? And so we were a group of five women, probably all of us in our 30s and early 40s at the time. And we stayed together for, actually Tracy moved on and became an artist in a different form. Rather than a performing artist, she moved into painting. And so I don't know if you've met her. She's a very interesting woman.
This is Tracy?
Tracy Carlton, yeah.
Tracy Carlton, okay.
Yeah. So she moved on, and the four of us that she had brought together to belly dance stayed together for, I want to say, six more years.
Wow.
We've danced together for about 6 or 7 years, and all over the community, and sometimes out of the community as far as Oregon, to different belly dance festivals, but we participated in a lot of local community events. And so there was a sisterhood that I was a part of through that was really fulfilling for me.
Now, you all recognized yourself as a sisterhood at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is in the 2000s, mm-hmm. here in the motherlode, we mm-hmm. had a sisterhood of women involved in belly dancing.
We did.
Okay. Now, you know, in the 3 or so years that I've been up here, nobody had said that mm-hmm. at all. It's not that it wasn't possible to say it. Either they were taking it for granted, or mm-hmm. it just never occurred to them to say, oh, Kat, by the way, mm-hmm. we do have women belly dancers mm-hmm. up here. But until Linda French had an event where mm-hmm. she invited you to teach mm-hmm. belly dancing to the women of upcountry, mm-hmm. and you came up here. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but let's still stay involved with, okay, so you got involved with the belly dancing, and we're mm-hmm. working towards you beginning to have events of your own. Mm-hmm. So then what happened after that?
So we the five of us, which ended up being four of us after Tracy moved on, were part of that for years, and life just started happening, and we all became very busy. One of my sisters in our belly dance troupe was dealing with personal health issues, and we decided that there were other things pulling us in different directions. So we stopped formally dancing together maybe 3 years ago and remained friends. And as you mentioned, little things come up, like being able to teach a belly dance workshop that we collaborate on here and there. But in the last few years, I was feeling like that need to find my tribe again. You know, the little everyday interactions, which just sometimes tend to be just kind of surface or superficial with other women, weren't enough for me. And so there wasn't anything that I was aware of locally, which fit kind of what I was looking for. Actually, there was. I did find, that's how I met Linda French, is the little retreat that she put together with her Sparkle Sisters. I found that randomly on the internet, and I thought, well, that's exactly what I'm looking for. So I went to that. It wasn't an ongoing thing, though, that I could tell. It was just offered maybe seasonally. Mm-hmm. Loved her retreat. And I thought, I want more of this. And I couldn't find it anywhere else. So I thought, well, I'll just create it then.
Linda has been on several times for her projects before. And I want her to come on to talk about Sparkle Sisters, mm-hmm. because there is an effort to have a more intense mm-hmm. connection mm-hmm. with people on a spiritual level, and to share experience around mm-hmm. that, because I think what she's pulling in are people who have had experience, which doesn't exclude people who haven't yet, but they're able to teach and teach each other and work together and nourish each other, and mm-hmm. and that's building in for women of all ages. So what happened after that eventually led to your retreats?
Well, I had talked with a friend, Brandy Aswood, and she was involved with the women's circles that I was a part of many years ago that I mentioned that Melanie Miner facilitated. And I think that may have been how I had connected with Brandy initially, which was probably 10 years ago. And we've been connected ever since. She's also someone who likes to connect other women and participate in the community in that way. And so I had asked her, would you be willing to work with me to make this happen? And she was willing to be a support to me so that I could make it a reality. So I think we pulled it together in 2 weeks. The first one, it was back in November. I just kind of sat and thought
November of what year?
Last year, 2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting and thinking, what are some kind of common themes that us as women that are part of our lives, you know, things like self-care and, of course, sisterhood and gratitude and so many different things that I feel are common themes for us that that are things we could focus more intention and energy around together. And so we kind of mapped out a few months of ideas, and Brandy is a hypnotherapist and massage therapist and a business owner. And so she was able to help me in that way, because those were things that I didn't have experience with.
Brandy is, what's her last name?
Astwood. A-S-T, Wood.
Astwood, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank
She's
you.
She's in Plymouth.
Okay.
Just opened a little retreat called the Wellness Cottage on her property, a little bed and breakfast and spa.
Okay.
So she was able, I felt like with her help, I could move forward with it, because she would be able to pull in some content from her background and experience that I didn't have, things like helping women, guiding women through guided meditations and that sort of thing that I didn't have experience with. So we just pulled it together within a couple of weeks, and I put it out there using Facebook primarily to make it, that's just an easy, free platform to connect people. And had a great response. I think I had 25, 30 women right away that said, I'll be there.
That was one of the things I noticed. I looked at the beautiful picture of the circle, and I thought, there are a lot of young women in mm-hmm. this circle. It was, I don't think I had ever seen a collection of young mm-hmm. women together without being with their families or their husbands mm-hmm. at some event, you know, mm-hmm. together mm-hmm. in this circle, looking very happy and satisfied. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was successful.
It was successful. I realized right away that I was not the only one who was craving this sort of thing and this connection, because some women came from an hour away to participate.
Where was this held?
We held it at the First Five or Margaret Dalton's Children's Center in Jackson.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. Perfect venue. They have a beautiful meeting room.
Right, and it's cool and comfortable. Mm-hmm. And
centrally located
and
for most people.
Yep. Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a perfect place to hold that without having to be in someone's home. I don't live very centrally, so I wasn't sure that people would want to come out to the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of used to that living up here. Mm-hmm. But I felt it was very successful. I think women enjoyed taking that time for themselves, like you said, leaving some of our responsibilities at home and taking that time just for ourselves. And so we tried to incorporate some things that would help women relax, some things that would help them feel sort of pampered and cared for, and then bring in some fun and socialization so that we could get to know each other better. I think our theme in November was gratitude, which is something that's typically talked about with Thanksgiving being that month.
Right. And it's something talked about with women generally. Mm-hmm. Women are very drawn to that word, mm-hmm. the idea of thankfulness about mm-hmm. their life and mm-hmm. gratitude about the people around them and mm-hmm. their opportunities. So this is going to... All right, I'm getting ahead of myself because I wanted to ask, how was this like a weekend or a day or what was it?
I decided to start pretty small, which is why I refer to it as a mini retreat, because okay. I didn't really have the background. I don't have anything, any specific like formal training in facilitating a group for women. It just was coming from my heart, and so I didn't want to take something on that I wouldn't be able to fill the space with content. So we chose the first one. I think was 2 hours, and we had lots of activities packed into that 2 hours because I didn't want to run out of things to do and have awkward silence or. Space that needed to be filled. So it was not enough time. So then the following month in December, we moved it to 3 hours, and that was a lot more comfortable with the types of activities that I had planned so that I didn't feel rushing and I was able to incorporate everything but yet not feel like we were cramming.
And that one was well attended as well.
It was, yeah. December's a hard month for people with family responsibilities and that sort of thing. So it was, I think, a little harder for women to get away during the holiday season, but they still made it happen. And we had a group of, I want to say maybe 18 women in December that came together. And, we met again in January and February.
Oh my, you've been doing this monthly.
Yeah. I wanted to commit to monthly. If I commit to something, and put it out there, then I'll make it happen. And so we met at the same place every time, different topics. And I also wanted to bring in different special like featured presenters to each event because part of my vision in all of this, when I connected with Linda French and her Sparkle Sisters and their retreat, I thought, I didn't even know these women were here in Amador County. And these women are amazing and they all have such special gifts and perspectives. And I thought, if I didn't know where they were here and these services were here, and then I'm sure there's plenty of other women, especially of my age, that have no idea what's available to them here in the county. So I wanted to highlight a different woman from the community at each event. Because number one, that kind of lifted some of the pressure on me to fill the entire event with just my own content. I could bring in someone else that had so much to offer, but it would give the women that attended the retreats this idea of all that's available to them to help kind of really enhance their lives and help them heal.
Now that is fantastic because you're doing physically, literally physically with women. exactly what every woman's is trying to do, mm-hmm. to make people aware mm-hmm. of the resource that we are to each other. Mm-hmm. And that the whole purpose, my whole purpose, and every woman's whole purpose, because now it's all of the women involved, mm-hmm. has been to show how women can make a difference in their communities mm-hmm. here in the Motherlode. And you're doing that. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah,
I'm excited because that also opens up to every woman's that some of these women, I bet, I know, because I know that a lot of women in that circle. But when you run across people, it might be really fun for you to consider telling them about every woman's and having them come on, or even coming with them so that you two can talk about what it is you want to talk about. Because the more that we spread this, I think the more that we'll realize something that happens in the mountains, that happens in any rural community, is that people get a false sense of isolation. Mm-hmm. And it's false because they don't realize that like minds have moved into the same area that they're in. That like minds tend to live in like areas. So if you're a creative person, that must mean there are creative people around. Where are they? That's all you have to do is find them. So let's consider that we'll find, that we'll use some of your work and our work here together and every woman's to get these people speaking to each other and interacting even more. Mm-hmm. Who have you had speak so far?
I've had Barbie Jo Eberle. I think that's how her name is pronounced. And she is, these are all people that I just kind of connected with by chance. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll Google search and they'll just pop up, become on my radar. So Barbie Jo Eberle, her background is as a yoga instructor, and she's a musician, and she is an Ayurvedic health practitioner.
Okay.
And I'm sure she was an esthetician. She has like a lot of things going on.
Which also, by the way, has been reflected a lot in Every Woman's Hour. There is no woman, and I'm going to say this with no qualifications, there is no woman in the Motherlode who isn't good at 4 or 5 things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is just a fact. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. And I mean good at it, mm-hmm. really able mm-hmm. in 4 or 5 vocations and avocations in their life.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised. Okay, so Barbara Joey, really. Who else have you had?
And she she came on and shared some of her gifts with us. And I've had Brandi Astwood, who I already mentioned,
mm-hmm.
who was able to lead us through some guided meditations and mm-hmm. Some experiences with essential oils.
Okay.
And then we've had Wendy Ward.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy has been on Every Woman several times and is a great source to women of all ages in this community for everything
mm-hmm.
possible, for the arts, for their own creativity, mm-hmm. for their own spirituality. Mm-hmm. She's just a gifted, gifted woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you had her on.
Yes,
okay.
She facilitated some soul collage project.
Yes,
with
that's
our group.
One of her projects, and mm-hmm. which is spreading in all of our throughout the Motherlode.
Mm-hmm.
Manzanita Press is going to be having a soul collage mm-hmm. workshop coming up too. It's become a very fulfilling way for women to both learn and trust their own artistic creativity, but mm-hmm. to do it through really going a little bit deeper into themselves mm-hmm. and pulling out some ideas about themselves, mm-hmm. which is very gratifying.
It is, and I think we, in our busy lives, we don't always take the time to do those things for ourselves. So it's such a simple thing, but we will sometimes not take that time to do those sorts of things. So having it in a structured way at an event like this forces us to take the time and have that experience, which we're always grateful for. Shannon Allen came to one of our retreats, and Shannon is a yoga instructor and recently opened a business in Jackson, Amador Yoga.
Oh, Amador Yoga. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, several people. I've been giving her time to, because I know they've got a lot going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I had recognized that name. Yeah, mm-hmm. because that is newly open
mm-hmm.
downcountry and is already filling up with mm-hmm. people. This is kind of a renaissance of this,
mm-hmm.
you realize.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 70s until the 80s, there was a lot of this kind of activity going on mm-hmm. in the Motherlode.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was considered hippie or, you know, off the, in that kind of way. But it was around these things. It was around spirituality and creativity and sisterhood and brotherhoods to mm-hmm. their drumming and the things the men were doing. And then it just kind of faded for a while. People got into a turn in the cycle where they were more just looking for money and business and what, and the computer world was opening up like wildfire, and so people were getting involved in that. And it's coming back. Mm-hmm. You're part of a real renaissance that's going on by doing mm-hmm. this. Okay, who else? This is
Linda French.
And Linda came, okay.
Linda came and told us about the history of tea and how we can use tea as self-care.
Now, people who have heard Linda on Every Woman, remember, she has Possibilities on 88. That's her shop, but it's more than a shop. Tiny as it is, it's an event center as well, and she moves out into larger areas for many of her events, but all of them are creative. And the one thing that they all have in common is you will have tea at these events because she's a tea master, mm-hmm. a true tea master, and has been for a great deal of her life, even in her work in Sacramento before she moved up here. So it's a wonderful woman to learn from. Okay,
yeah,
great.
She is, and being connected with her has really it's opened up a whole world of connections for me. I've attended some of her events and met people through her events. I recently went to one of her crystal workshops that Cynthia Denzelf was the teacher of, and met Cynthia through that. And I've just connected with a whole. It's opened my world to a whole group of women that were just hiding here in the
yes.
in the wilderness, I
you
guess.
No, they were not actually hiding. I'll give you a tiny bit of that history. You passed Serenity Center on your way in. Mm-hmm. But how this all came to be that all these women know each other mm-hmm. is that Serenity Center wanted to meet themselves, all the women who were creative in the area, and men, mm-hmm. and had a big event at Mace Meadows mm-hmm. where they opened their doors to vendors and everybody who had any services possible in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And to their amazement, all these people who had never met each other before all came together in one place, this was 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and looked at each other in amazement and gratitude, like, you're here, you're actually here, and found out that they were blocks apart, literally only blocks apart. Mm-hmm. They passed each other on the way to, you know, when they get to their home, and began networking together. So this is recent here in Upcountry, but more importantly, it was something whose time had come. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be there for that, and I wound up interviewing all the women. I mm-hmm. sat for 2 days straight mm-hmm. interviewing one woman after the other and thinking to myself, and at the end said to Teresa, you know, you people should all be getting together all the time because this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Look at all this talent. Mm-hmm. And none of you knew the other was mm-hmm. there. Very few people. Mm-hmm. So this is brand new. You're part. That's why I said you're part of a renaissance yeah. that has just exploded into mm-hmm. parts of the mother world that people didn't expect this to happen, mm-hmm. mainly upcountry. Mm-hmm. Not that it isn't totally possible where you are, because it is, but it's more noticeable when a shooting star goes off in an area you don't expect it to be yeah. in the sky, and that's here.
Yeah.
So it's growing everywhere. Mm-hmm. You're a part of that. Fun.
I keep a running list as part of just my brainstorming for my retreats of interesting people that come into my life or that I learn about that I think would be a good fit for coming and teaching us at a retreat. Teresa from Serenity is on my list. As soon as I connect with someone or hear about someone,
well,
they go on my list.
She'll connect you with, she can connect you with, you know, a dozen more, and those mm-hmm. dozen can connect you to a dozen more. It is mm-hmm. endless. Mm-hmm. It is endless. That's what every woman has found. When I began it, I thought, well, hopefully I'll be able to find some people I can interview. And I will not live long enough to interview mm-hmm. all of the women who, and if I got into the men too, it would never end mm-hmm. because they're very supportive men for mm-hmm. these women.
Yep.
That was one of the things I thought about, by the way, that by having these mini-retreats, you're offering, especially those young mothers that are mm-hmm. with you, a very safe way to be able to have some time to themselves. Because mm-hmm. Who would not, you know, among their gracious husbands, watch the kids so they could go to a woman's mm-hmm. event like mm-hmm. this? Every family has somebody who will watch the kids for you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've opened that door for them in a beautiful way. They have a place to go to get away and have some time for themselves that isn't terribly expensive or like going to a spa or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not that going to a spa is not a great idea,
yeah.
but this is just as good, if not better, than going to a spa.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I'm excited.
I think that might be it so far.
Because you just began this in November.
Oh, Laurel Lichtig.
Laurel Lichtig has been on.
Right? She came on with Barbie Jo.
Okay,
they both
good.
Have the Ayurvedic background.
Right.
And Laurel led us through an activity with mindful eating.
Okay.
So that we could really learn how to, you know, nourish our bodies and appreciate food in a different way, since we're mostly just usually eating on the fry.
Right. Yes.
Not really conscious about it, and a lot of us tend to have some struggles around that.
Yeah. She is my Ayurvedic practitioner for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the mindful eating part, when I do it, I'm very proud of myself. Mm-hmm. And when I don't, I just don't tell her. Why would I tell her that? Because she mindfully eats all the time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself by saying, well, sometimes I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway. But she's a wonderful speaker.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a great sense of drama, too. You know, she's becoming an actress as well. So she's working through that. Again, talking about the multiple talents that people have.
Mm-hmm.
Have you incorporated the belly dancing into this yet?
I haven't at all. I actually took a little break from facilitating the retreats in March, April, and May, because I personally was finishing up some training programs that were very time-consuming. I finished a yoga teacher training.
So you now have yoga teacher training behind you.
I do, yeah. I don't have my certification yet. That's still in process, but I've done the 200 hours and passed the tests.
Oh, fantastic.
That sort of thing. And that's something I just did for because I wanted to. I don't intend to be a yoga teacher at this point for work, but there's so much that came along with that training that really enhanced my life. It's exactly why I did it. So, and I was also finishing up a program called Inner Circle, which is actually facilitated by a woman that lives in Utah named Tiffany Peterson. And that was a personal development and business development program
that's
for about 6 months. So I took a little time off from facilitating the retreats to immerse myself in those programs. And during that time is when Linda French had asked me, she must have seen a picture or something on my Facebook and said, you want to teach a class for us for belly dancing? So that kind of took the place of one of our mini retreats. Is we just invited the women who had participated in the past retreats to come join us for belly dance class. And several of them came up country here to participate in that, but I haven't incorporated the belly dancing formally into the mini retreats.
Well, I think it's a growing blossom.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is. A rose bush is beginning there, because for some reason that was very appealing. And I'm seriously saying for some reason, because I think until people experience doing belly dance, it seems too out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't do that kind of thing with my belly. I don't do that kind of thing with my body. And the thought of ever someday maybe even thinking about my belly showing for people is not going to happen. Kind of thing is what's going through their head. And yet when women get involved together as women, that doesn't come through. That doesn't come through, because what we're afraid of is that women will see that our bellies are bigger, which...
Mm-hmm.
Every woman's body tends to be, especially the people who have been mothers. And once you see that everybody actually has a bigger belly than you thought.
Or a belly full of stretch marks, even if it's not bigger. Yeah.
Right. Then it's like, okay, we're belly dancers. That's who we are.
And I think that's what I loved so much about it. I never in a million years would have thought that I would get involved with belly dance. Like I mentioned, it just... was something that happened through a friend that I thought, oh, why not? And the reason I think that our group continued with it for so long is because there is so much more to it. And not only is it a creative outlet, and dancing is just just extremely energizing and fulfilling to a lot of people, being able to express yourself in that way. And it was a little bit of a physical activity that is always good for us, but in a, you know, fun, more fun way. I have a hard time with the more intense exercise. So this was a perfect little way for me to move my body and not feel like it was a drag. But the sisterhood that came from it, because I wasn't a solo dancer and don't think I ever could be, it was very much a group thing. And these women became some of my best friends. It was a reason for us to get together at least once a week, despite our busy schedules, and just create and have fun together. And then the performing aspect of it became just exhilarating, because the belly dance community is just a total celebration of women and women's bodies in all their forms. And there were women of all ages, shapes, and sizes involved in this community and in these festivals and shows that we were a part of. And it was just something I'd never, ever experienced in my entire life, where we just could be who we are and feel powerful and beautiful in just as we were. And there was no judgment. And it was a different world. It really was. And we all just loved it. And I actually was able to involve my daughter in it. She was probably 8 or 9 at the time that I started dancing. And she did her little dancing at dance studios, ballet and tap and that sort of thing. So she loved dancing and performing. So when I invited her and another one of my troop members, Kimberly, invited her daughter, who's a little older, to participate, and it just brought it to another level of being able to bring in another generation and help my daughter experience what I had with feeling accepted in her body and celebrating our bodies together. And my daughter's been involved with it on and off throughout the years, and my daughter came with me to teach the class that Linda had invited me to teach. Now my daughter's 13. She was actually able to help me teach the class, and it just fills my heart to know that not only have I got to share that with my daughter, but that she's able to see us women viewed and just having a different relationship with our bodies than we do in most other parts of our lives.
That's where I see us fully, and that's why I really do hope it will continue to grow here in the motherland. I think it's difficult for a lot of our rural kids because they have a feeling, and it's, you know, it has some merit to it, the feeling that they're not as prepared for the world as the urban kids are, and that if they get into an urban situation, their bodies and how they dress and how they behave are not going to be as accepted because they don't know all the modern good stuff. It's a lot of the belonging stuff that happens straight through around age 10, well, sometimes even earlier, especially for little girls, all the way into the 20s, which is a long time in a life. It's a long time to be wondering whether you're fitting in. So this sounds to me like this would be a really healthy way. That moving it more into the high school, for example, would be a really healthy thing to do, because then the girl, it doesn't take long. It seems once people have started this process of realizing it, you know, that as I said, that we all look about the same. We're all lovely when we dance. We all have a certain. We all have a beauty. We can see that beauty in each other. And it's really mind-opening at whatever age. So I'd love to see you get more involved in it. Because apparently the women who came were thrilled.
Yeah, they were a very great group for me. For my first time teaching a belly dance class, I was very worried that I've never done that before. And how is it going to flow? And is it going to be too hard? Is it going to be too easy? Is it going to fill the time that I was allotted? And so they were a very gracious group.
Well, more than gracious, I think that they probably immediately responded to whatever it is you did that said that made them feel comfortable. They were ready for that. Because I think when people come, women, especially when women, because for men it's a different thing. Some of them get involved in ballroom dancing with their wives, things like that, but they don't always think to themselves, well, I'll go join a dance troupe. That doesn't happen. It's a shame it doesn't. It would free them up in a whole lot of ways that they probably haven't thought about. But for the whip. A lot of women do. A lot of women get into dance at all kinds of times in life that people don't expect them to, and find it very, always seem to find it very freeing, and that it, that it brings out parts of their personality, improves their creativity, improves their self-image, improves their feeling of sisterhood with the rest of the women around them. Dance is very powerful. I think that the women up here, from the way that they responded to your dance class, were pretty much saying, you know, keep this going. You have a talent for it. And it was lovely you brought your daughter along for it. Okay, now you've talked about preparations for things. What had been your preparation in life that led you to be able to be so brave as to investigate and do many of these things during your young motherhood here in a mountain rural area?
You know, I'm not really sure. It feels like it just was just a part of my personality. I've just been, always been, felt, I've always felt comfortable leading. I like leading, and I feel like it comes naturally to me, and I love connecting people and creating, you know, events and programs. It's just always been something that's a strength for me, and so I've kind of had to find my way and how I can apply it. I can remember just even in high school, I was, you know, leader of different clubs and, creating different things at the school. And it just was something that I really enjoyed doing. And then I was able to continue that throughout college and, kind of.
When did you go to college?
I went to Chico State. I went to high school at Calaveras High School.
Okay.
And then I went to actually to Southern California, the University of Redlands, and then transferred to California State University, Chico, with who became my husband, my high school boyfriend. And so I just was always seeking opportunities and ways that I could apply those skills and do what I enjoyed. When my kids were born, I had twins and was looking to connect with other women. And so I found a local mother's club, which was a gift, but because the experience of having twins is special and different, I knew there were other mothers' clubs that just were for twin moms, but nothing locally. So I would drive to El Dorado County or Sacramento to attend meetings for mothers of twins and play groups and that sort of thing, and decided to create one locally. Motherload Mothers of Multiples, we called it, and that
Mothers of Multiples.
Yeah.
Where did that happen?
What's that?
Where was that?
That was just, we would just. We connected just virtually, like through email and that sort of things, and then we would plan our weekly events, play groups, and mothers' getaways, and that sort of thing. And that was, met some of my really good friends through that, and was involved with that for years. And then my kids transitioned into being in sports and school and things, so that wasn't as much of a part of our lives. But also created a co-op preschool called Amador Cooperative Preschool, where parents were involved with their child's preschool education because we didn't have anything here, and that's what I wanted. And my own school in San Andreas was what I modeled that after, and I had considered bringing my kids all the way to San Andreas from Pine Grove so that they could have that, we could all have that opportunity together, but I was able to create, pull something together locally.
Now, what was that called again?
Amador Cooperative Preschool.
Okay. Is it still here?
It is still here. First Five Amador was very supportive of the creation of that and provided funding for us. And so they've, even when my kids moved on and I wasn't involved anymore, First Five Amador supported it in continuing and and helped get new parents involved and new teachers. And so it is still going. It's actually at the Margaret Dalton Children's Center building where we held our little.
Yeah, Nina Machado will be coming on Every Woman's, and I'll definitely ask her about, I'll remember that too, to bring that in as well. But you had begun that as a more informal group at first, and then it blossomed into this. Okay, so you're kind of a community organizer.
Yeah, that's really, if that was a job title, then that's what I would have.
Well, it is a job title, and you can have it. I have learned that you can have, if you are doing something well and you're doing it in community, then go ahead and title it so that people can think about when they're going to include you, they think about that title, because it doesn't matter whether you're paid or not. In fact, your generation knows that very well. There are many people in, and the millennials coming up, we really know that well. Mm-hmm. They might be in internships throughout their entire 20s. Mm-hmm. Well, they still have titles. They still have the experience. If they're not being paid full time, and they're not, which is a shame in our economy. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean they don't have the experience, the ability, and can't contribute to community and be utilized by community. Mm-hmm. And I think you can call yourself that. It sounds to me like you are a community organizer.
Yeah, well, that's always what I've enjoyed and what's come naturally to me. And I never really figured out a way to make it my work. It was always just something I did on a volunteer basis. And I worked actually as a speech pathologist for most of my adult life through the school district and also through some private agencies.
Okay, so is that what you studied in college?
Yeah, I studied speech pathology and worked as a speech therapist, which didn't really involve me doing any of those things that I felt like I was drawn to do. I just worked actually by myself and traveled around to different schools and saw the kids. And so I kind of felt like I was lacking something there professionally.
The community.
Yes, exactly. I wasn't even really part of anyone's staff because I wasn't full-time at any school. I just, as being... having been a teacher, that the speech therapists just kind of pop in and out and work in a closet half the time at the school.
Right, right. Which is unfortunate, because that's literally what happens. They're given this smallest office because they have to have some privacy with the kid, and there they are locked with a frightened little kid going, "Wow, why am I here?" That's amazing. So that had been your professional work as well. So
That was my professional work, and I was always trying to figure out a way to integrate the two. Well, how can I make this whole idea of community organizing creating and facilitating programs and how can I make that my work? And because I was always doing it on the side, I also love cheerleading, and so I coached cheerleading. Side for my daughter's.
Well, of course
youth
you do,
program.
Jenny, because you can't possibly only do two things. No. Oh, no, you have to do like 10 or you're not happy. Okay, so you coach cheerleading.
Yeah, all of these volunteer things that just were very fulfilling to me. Right. And so I actually, a few years ago, fell into being part of a company called doTERRA, which is a wellness company. And I was working as a speech pathologist at the time, but had a passion for natural health. And so
now, doTERRA has been on, for those of you who listen to Every Woman's Hour, they have been on the air. doTERRA, a team of about four women came.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, and talked about, for community radio, we couldn't talk about it as a product, but they taught us about essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
And they were allowed to use the word doTERRA as much as they wanted, because they are essential oils. So that's just their name. So, but they couldn't promote.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that is a growing field for young women, and many of us who have utilized essential oils know exactly why. So, if you're interested in hearing about the doTERRA work and essential oils, that is in everywomanshour.org. Mm-hmm. There is an interview with that team.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
And that's become my work the last two years. That's and I feel like it's all come together, because through that, that's what I do, is I connect people and I organize things and planning events every month and helping to inspire people to live healthier lives. And
yeah, that seems to be the biggest part of the essential oil movement. No matter when people have, fears about, is this another fad? Is this that? To know that this particular health field has been going on for thousands of years, and just because we're naming it and producting it doesn't mean that isn't still what it is, is very important for people. Mm-hmm. And they trust it then and can put it in as another modality towards health.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good work for you, because, that does involve community. It definitely does, especially, like you said, organizing events. Mm-hmm. So that is your work. So... And that's something that's open, remember, as we had discussed with the doTERRA people, to mothers who have kids at home, this is available to you, because it is a valuable health modality, alternative health modality for many people. And if you're interested in it and it's part of your health program to have those sort of things in your program, you don't have to be working in an office.
Yeah.
You can do this from home. So again, go into that interview if you're interested in that part of it. But that's great. So that's what they're bounding out for your money.
Yep.
For the money.
That's allowed me to contribute to my family and
exactly,
earn a living,
which is very important.
Doing what I really have always loved to do, with the natural health component, but mostly the community organizing and leading.
Pulling that all in together. Mm-hmm. Oh, does that really has come full circle
it
on
has,
that.
It has, yeah. And now you'd mentioned the kids being on summer break, and it's wonderful that I have that flexibility because we were talking about places we could take them, you know, little water holes and that sort of thing. And I'm able to do that with them every day. I'm able to come here on a Tuesday morning to be with you. And it's just it's a perfect fit for me, the work that I'm doing now.
And you, in a way, it's kind of a fortune. The whole, it's almost rendering back to the idea of the cottage craft, which women used to be involved in the old days when they literally had to be around the home all the time or nothing was going to get done. Mm-hmm. It was very work-intensive work to have a family. You were washing all your clothes by hand. You were mm-hmm. hanging them out. There were things that were taking time. So women would have a cottage craft, something where they didn't have to go into an office or into a factory where they could do it from home. Mm-hmm. And this state California is getting better and better at organizing around having people being able to do that at home. Mm-hmm. In ways that are legal and protect the public, but also protect the worker and her work.
Mm-hmm.
So your generation is fortunate for that that you pushed forward for that because it does help mothers to be at home and fathers too.
Yeah.
There are a lot of home fathers who are capable mainly because a lot of them because of their computer work, but also involved in some of these cottage craft things, carpentry things like that. So that they can be at home with the kids, it's important, and it's there were a couple of generations where those options weren't there, where people were away from their kids too often, and it had a legacy that was not as good as this one may be.
Mm-hmm.
So you're involved in that very very much so, very much so. So you have the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spend our last few minutes of our interview. I would just like you to reflect on how you feel, and I ask this of all the young mothers who come, about the educational system that we have up here in the motherhood. How has it served your kids? And why have you chosen? Because you have chosen, if you live up here with a family, you've chosen a way of education. So if you could speak to that, please tell us what schools your kids went to and what that meant to you, because that's of interest to our young mothers who listen.
Yeah, that's a big topic. I could go on and on about that one.
I do want to put together a panel at some point when I have all of you together and have you all just talk simply about that and have met each other beforehand and decided what you want to talk about. And I'd like to do that as a panel, and maybe you would like to be part of that. But this would just is briefly talking about what has it meant to you. And let's just maybe highlight some of the positives, because they're the reason why you still stay, you haven't moved out of the community.
Well, I grew up in the Bay Area, went to school in Antioch until eighth grade. And then my parents moved us to Mountain Ranch, and I went to Calaveras, to Toyon for a year, and then Calaveras High School. So that was a complete change.
A culture
shock,
though.
But for me, because of my personality, I tended to be introverted, and I was completely lost in the big schools and fearful, and just I wasn't coming out of myself. I wasn't blossoming there. So for me to come to the Calaveras schools and feel safer and feel like more seen, and it was easier for me to get involved with things than it would have been at the bigger schools, where they had it was more competitive to get into different programs and onto different teams and that. So it was a godsend for me personally to move to this community and school here for the last part of my schooling. So I definitely feel like there's a lot of value in the small community and the small schools. Sometimes I do wish there were more choices up here. I'm interested in some of the charter schooling and that sort of thing, which isn't available to us up here. But I love the small school environment. My kids have gone back and forth between the Amador County school district and also the Mountain Oaks Charter School, which is a homeschool program. We just kind of go year to year based on their needs and our families, what's best for our family.
Oh, you're right. You have now just opened a huge subject yeah, up again. And it's not the first time. And I was just curious when I would ask if that's where you would come from, because now I'm determined. I would definitely try to do this. I'm going to try to do it during the summer when you're not as involved in your kids' schools. Mm-hmm. I'm getting four or five of you together, and let's talk about this, because we have Lynn Vasquez, for example, had been on, because Pioneer School has a Magnus, mm-hmm. is Magnus, Arts mm-hmm. Magnus. So there are options that we should be playing a whole mm-hmm. lot more for our kids that actually give them a whole lot more than they get in any urban center.
Yeah.
But we have to all get on the same wavelength around that and be able to advocate for that for all of our schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now they're a good school here, a good school there, a good school here, a good school mm-hmm. there. We could do better than that. And our boards are willing to listen mm-hmm. to that, because they tend to be people who have their kids in the school as we do.
Yeah.
And they're totally willing to hear that. And plus, we want to keep our young families together here in the Motherlode. Mm-hmm. We want them to enjoy being here enough and having enough for their kids mm-hmm. that they don't have to go afield. That's why they're working so hard on Paramador mm-hmm. having his own junior college, too. Mm-hmm. Because good as the Karen Dickerson's program is for alternatives to junior college,
mm-hmm.
we need the facility. We need yeah. our kids to be able to stay here and be still where they would love to be,
mm-hmm.
if that's where they would love to be, mm-hmm. and not have to go far away and commute far away, which is a lot of gas mileage, and so if they're
yeah.
still at home, to get to other community colleges. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll do this.
Yeah,
we'll do this. I'll be happy to involve you. Well, as usual, we open many, many doors and windows in this interview, and we were able to nicely address some of them, and others are still wide open, and I'm excited mm-hmm. about that. Because that's what we women do, is we open up to new possibilities
mm-hmm.
in the main. And that sounds like it's quite a generalization, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Women open new possibilities because just for most of us, our nurturing source is to do that in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've opened up more of those doors. I'll be more than happy to include you again. I'm very happy you're here today.
Thank
this has been a lovely
me.
Interview, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Thank you.
Thank you. So much enjoyed that interview with Jenny Upchurch. It was really great. I love it when the young women are on Every Woman's Hour, which doesn't mean that I'm against any age of women, since I'm up in the upper ranges of the women on Every Woman's Hour. What it means is that we women are all standing together, whatever age group that we're in, and saying, let's make a difference in the Motherlode, and telling each other how we do it and what inspires us and so on. And Jenny, want to thank you so much for that. And especially, I think, we all want to thank you for the belly dancing. Because, you know, every so now and then we get into a place where things like that look just so outrageous. And people like you make it so clear that the outrageous is wonderful and normal and natural for human women and their spirits, and is a way to have the roses with the bread in Bread and Roses. Now, we are reaching the end of Every Woman's Hour. You will be able to hear this broadcast again on Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. on kqbm.org or on the dial. And you will be able to hear it, and that will be on Saturday, 9 to 10. And you will be able to hear it on archive.org, and it will be on everywomanshour.org, which is our website, and that's without the apostrophe. Bye for now, and thank you for joining us today.
With honey to sweeten up the night, we always cook with honey. Tell me, how's your appetite for some sweet love?
Thank you for listening to Every Woman's Hour.
KQBM 103.7 FM West Point, KQBM
90.7 FM San Andreas.